We've gone through valleys, and yet God is so faithful. He's so good, and we can, as a whole, say amen to his goodness and his awesomeness, as Glenn says, his awesomeness. So just quickly, I want to say this, that some of you know where I've been. Some of you know the battles that I've gone through and the wars that have been waged. But God has been, again, faithful. He's helped me to overcome. And he is a restorer in the greatest sense. And so with that, I just want to make a little announcement that this guy right there asked me to marry him. And I said yes. And so, amen. God is faithful. He just is. That's the testimony of our God, that when we go through the battle, he fixes it. And he doesn't do a half-hearted job. He does it all the way. He does it completely. Amen. Father, we just thank you for the valleys. We thank you, God, for the storms. Because we know at the end, when we get to that light at the end of that tunnel, God, that you're there. You've been with us through it all. And you never leave. You never forsake. So, God, as we enter into your rest, into your worship, into your river, God, can we just focus on you and float and breathe and love on you today, God? That's my heart's cry, to be able to just be with you, be with the God of goodness, be with my faithful, wonderful, loving Savior, be with my Creator today. God, we just love you. And we're excited to be in your presence today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
bowing down. I've come to worship. I've come to worship. To worship, I'm gonna sing my song.
together, there's no one higher than you. Redeemer, defender, our great and mighty Savior, there's no one higher than you.
God, we thank you for the name that is above every name, Father God. We worship you, Jesus. We thank you, God, right now, Father, that every sickness, God, must bow at the feet of Jesus right now, Father. And we just declare that this morning in this place, Father. God, your power is greater, your glory is stronger, God. Lord, and we just receive that glory, God, in this place, Jesus. Lord, we receive your grace. We fall into your grace tonight, Lord, today, Father. We fall into that mercy, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Father God. There is no one higher, no one greater, no one like our God. There is none more able, Christ our Savior, great and glorious. There is no one higher, no one greater, no one like our God. There is none more able, Christ our Savior, great and glorious. There is no one higher, no one greater, no one like our God. There is none more able, Christ our Savior. Oh yes, oh God. Yes, Jesus, I just want to be obedient this morning.
If you have any need at all, like no matter what it is, impossible it seems, whatever it is, I feel like God is in this place and he wants to meet that need this morning. It might be a financial need, it might be a physical need, it might be a marriage, a child, whatever it is. God truly wants to meet that need this morning. And Pastor Gay, if you would come up, and David, if you would come up, and Annette, if you would come up. If you guys have any sickness in this place, I want Annette to stand in the gap for my mom. And Pastor Gay to stand in the gap for your sister and your dad. And David is going to stand in the gap for his mom this morning. If you guys have any need this morning, I want you to come up because God is a miracle-working God. And if we truly believe the words in this song, that God is greater, God is more able, God is higher than any other name, everything must bow at the name of Jesus. Amen? So as we just begin to sing this, let's just begin to declare what is. The Bible says, declare those things that are not as though they are. So if you have a financial need, you literally just begin to declare, my need is met. It's already been done. It's already been finished. Amen? If you have sickness, just declare your health. Just declare, you know, I might not be able to walk right now. I am walking in the name of Jesus. You just begin to prophesy those things that are not as though they are. Amen? God, we truly believe with all of our hearts, Lord, we have all trust in you, Jesus. Our trust is completely in you, Father God. And you know the outcome before its beginning, Father. And we just declare, God, right now, those things that are not as though they are. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for every blessing and every good thing that comes from you, Father. We thank you, God, that your word says in Matthew, God, that you already know what we have need of before we even ask. And God, we take that step of faith right now, Jesus, and we ask you, Father God. Lord, we ask you for miracles, Jesus. We ask you for the impossible, God. And we know, Jesus, that you can do anything, Father. God, if you could breathe air into the lungs of Adam, God, that you can bring air into the lungs of a pneumonia person, God, that someone that has pneumonia. God, if you said, get up and walk, God, to the lame person, God, that we believe that today, God, that you can heal every financial need in this place. Father, we receive it now, Father. Come on, let's just declare this song right now, Jesus. We worship you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father, God. Come on, there's no one higher.
There is no one higher, no one greater, no one like our God. There is none more able, Christ our Savior, great and glorious. There is no one higher, no one greater, no one like our God. There is none more able, Christ our Savior, great and glorious. There is none higher, no one greater, no one like our God. There is none more able, Christ our Savior, great and glorious. There is no one higher, no one greater, no one like our God. There is none more able, Christ our Savior, great and glorious. Yes, the Lord, we receive it. We receive it now. We receive it. We receive it. We receive it now, Lord. Thank you. astounded by your mercy and love. Our hands are lifted high in surrender. Your grace for me is always enough. And there is no higher than our God, and there is no greater than you, Lord. Let my life forever praise the glory of your name. There is no higher than you.
The enemy is trying to lie to some of you and plant things in your head that your need isn't as good as this person's need over here, and it's, why are you even struggling with this, or something like that. That's how I feel, and I feel that there's a couple of you that are doubting God's grace in your life. There's like two or three, and His grace is good enough for you. His grace is, if you were the only reason He died on the cross, He would have died on the cross for you. And you're doubting that grace in your life, and you're really, what you're doing when you're doubting that grace is you're doubting His power, and you're tying His hands in your life. Because if you're not accepting it and you're not appropriating it in your life, you're not going to be free. So I want everybody just to kind of take just a couple steps back. And if that's you, I want you to step forward. If you're doubting God's grace in your life, if you're doubting just His power, I want you to take a step forward. Song again, and as we lift it up, I want you to lift up your hands and surrender to Him and say, you know what, God, I thank you for that grace. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your power.
There's no one higher than you.
reaches to forgive us. By your power, we've been set free. Lord, we stand amazed in your presence. Astounded by your mercy and love. Our hands are lifted high in surrender. Your grace for me is always enough. And there is no one higher than our God. And there is no one greater than you. Let my majestic in wonder, you reign in love forever. There's no one higher than you. Your beauty, your splendor, you know who knows no measure. There's no one higher than you. For you with us, gracious to forgive us. By your power we've been set free. Lord, we stand amazed in your presence. Astounded by your mercy and love. Our hands are lifted high and so. earth compares to you. You're all I want, you're all I'm holding to. You're all I want, you're all I'm holding to. Behold his beauty, behold his beauty. 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 Bright lights, bright lights, bright lights, bright to be, oh Lord, and I am yours, and I am made perfect, I am made clean, I am all that you want me to be, oh Lord, and I am yours. For great is he. He lives.
One thing that is very important for each one of us to understand as children of God, we are a new creation. Brand new, the Bible says. So you've come up here this day, another day, and you've had heaviness on your heart. You felt a certain way. You are not defeated. We need to understand that. We are not defeated. We're not to listen to the lies, but we're to allow the truth of God to refresh us and renew us. To understand that if you've come up here because you don't feel close to God, if you've come up here because you don't feel worthy or whatever the case is, you have issues in your life, I just want to be very clear that we are not defeated. We are kings and priests, the Bible says. We have a place right now as we're standing right here with our feet firmly planted on this ground, that we also have a heavenly residence within us as well. Seated next to the very one who saved us and called us by name. So when you come up here, when you say, yeah, I feel that way, yeah, that's me, you're doing it because you're broken. You're saying, yes, I am broken. Yes, because I then can be used by the Creator to be made brand new once again. I can be made whole if I can allow my broken heart to shine through and understand that I don't have all the answers, that my life isn't perfect, but I do have a relationship with the Creator of the universe. I just wanted to be clear that we're not coming up here out of defeat. We are not coming up here because we're not worthy. We're not coming up here because we're not good enough. We're coming up here to call on our God and to understand who He is. To take a moment and say, here I am, God. This is my heart. Here's where I've been. This is what I've done. But I am in You today. I am a new person. I'm a brand new creation. The old things have passed away and all things have become new. All things have become new. Sickness doesn't determine who I am. Struggles don't determine who I am. The things that God has said about me from day one hold true until the very end. I am a brand, can we say that together? I am a brand new creation. I am a brand new creation. The old is gone. I am a brand new creation. I may be broken, but I'm not defeated because I place my trust in Christ. I think the more that we can understand that, the more that we can wrap our hearts, our faith really around that, the more that we continue to walk as children of God with authority. Not like chancing day by day, but we walk with authority and with purpose. Not like, man, I hope today it's going to go good. I hope they get better. Come on, man. We're children of destiny. We need to live that way. So I want you to be encouraged with that. I don't know what we're doing next, but I want you to be encouraged with that because this is not, we are not defeated. There's one that is defeated. Huh? All right, come on.
Great.
Amen.
Yesterday he put me in a position that I was the only man that could help this other man, a recovering alcoholic just like me. I was at an AA meeting and I had invited for a ride home yesterday. That way I wouldn't have to walk or take the bus, and we went out to lunch and we had a really good conversation. And then afterwards I found out that he had been drinking. And as he's driving down the road, said it took a left on 32nd Avenue, took a left on 33rd Avenue, which is a dead end. And he got down to the end of the dead end after he'd been swerving down the road. And I told him, you are not right. you need a designated driver. And I had to drive him to my place. And when I was driving to my where I lived, someone was telling me that I needed to save this man. I needed to get him home. He needed a designated driver. And I, you know, sometimes we all need a designated driver. You know, it doesn't matter if we're drunk or stoned or in pain or alone. You know, we all need a designated driver. And we need to let that be God sometimes. Let it guide us. And I just thank you, Lord, that you've given me the strength and courage to take what I've learned from you and be able to put it back into the world. You've created this beautiful world. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you.
I just wanted to mention something that I guess I wasn't obedient to say last week, and it was the song that we had sang with Bright Lights, and I'm not sure if you guys will relate to this, but it really touched my heart. I feel bad for not sharing it last week, so here goes. So that chorus or whatever, where it says bright lights. As I was worshiping last week, kind of go into the zone, I guess you could say. And God gave me this vision that I can relate to. It's a picture of my son, Alec, when I took him fishing for the first time. And it's one of my favorite photos that I have. And it's not an amazing photo, no photography. You know, it's nothing that great. But me and him are walking down this dirt road to the lake. One of my memories there was, it was with my father, but I remember putting my hand down to my son. And Alec looked up to me, and it felt so good in my heart. Like, it was just amazing to just look down at your son, him reach up equally and grab your finger. So when I think of that moment when our eyes connected, I think about that bright lights, and it relates to our Father, our God, as we're walking our path, our life, and he's just looking down on us with his hand, waiting for us to reach up and look at him in the eyes and embrace his hand. That's it. when I hear that song, you know, where we're singing Bright Lights, that moment when we decide to grab, to reach out, to be obedient, and say, you know what? This is a long path. But I'm going to hold my Father. I'm going to reach out, grab his hand, and look into his eyes and embrace him.
We want you. Come and consume, God, all we are. Give you permission. Hearts are yours. We want you. Oh, we want you to come and consume, God, all we are. Give you permission. Hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. We love you. We'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you walk into our rooms, you walk into our lives, Lord, and you cause things to change. Lord, we just come before you right now, Lord, and we know that there's family members that are here, Lord, and they need you to walk into where they're at right now. They need the supernatural power of heaven to come and bring healing to their bodies. Lord, we continue to stand in the gap for Brenda, Lord, right now. Lord, we thank you, God, for every advancement that we've seen, Lord, every miracle that we've seen, Lord, up to this time. But God, we just know that there's full restoration in her future. So Lord, we pray, God, that right now, today, there would be another major advancement, Lord, in her health right now, Lord, right in that hospital room. Lord, that there would be a surge of healing that would go through her body, Lord, and that she would not be the same. Lord, we pray right now for Cindy, God, and Lord, as it's unknown exactly what's going on, Lord, you know what's going on with her body. Lord, we pray that you would just, Lord, bring, Lord, revelation to the doctor's understanding. And Lord, that God, if there has been any damage, Lord, you would reverse the damage and allow healing to flow in Jesus' mighty name. Pray right now for Diane, God. Lord, pray, God, that you would just give her strength, Lord. Lord, give her the ability, God, to hold on to your hand, to look into your bright eyes, your bright light, Lord, and to receive, God, grace from heaven right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that you're a God that we can bring our needs to, and you're moved with what moves us. And that you move in such a way, Lord, that healing and grace and mercy is released, Lord, into lives. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for a relationship with you, Lord, where we can have intimacy and know you face to face, personally, not just in our minds, in a thinking type of way, Lord, but in a heart-to-heart, in a bonding way, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord, that you're real. You are real. Thank you for being real to us. I just bless your name, Jesus. It is blessed, but we choose to bless your name today, Lord. The name that's above every other name. We bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take a moment, greet someone. Hug them on the neck.
Hello, everybody. How you doing? Good. So, last week we passed around a little board to sign up for yard work. Well, we're back up here to talk about yard work again. We had a little bit of an unfortunate circumstance with some of our equipment this week. Thus, the yard is really, really long, and both of our lawnmowers broke. One of them completely broke, and so we actually had to throw it away. We completely threw a rod, and then the other one, it's going to be about a $700 fix. It threw a rod as well, but that one is the industrial size, so we want to fix that one. It's worth fixing just because of the efficiency of it and whatnot. We don't normally do this, but we're going to just take a special offering just for that. That way it doesn't have to come out of the church budget. Like I said, it's going to be about a $700 fix, but plus on top of that, we need to buy another little lawnmower for some of the really steep hills around here. The Lord puts it on your heart to give, then give for it. I know it's a lawnmower. It's like, oh, whatever. But pray about it for a minute, and when we're just going to pass this, and it's going to make its way through, and if the Lord puts it on your heart to give, then give. If he doesn't, no big deal. It's not a big thing, but every little bit we get will help, take the edge off of that large expense. So, what do you want me to do? I don't know. So, yeah. Well, I'm going to pray first before we laugh or something. Dear Lord, I just come to you right now, and I thank you for the opportunity to be here today, Father God. And I just thank you for everything that you have given us, Father God. And I pray, Lord, as we give, Father God, for the lawnmower, even though it seems kind of like a silly thing, Father God, you will just truly put it on those of us hearts that feel impressed to give, Father God, the amount to give, and just bless all of us, Father God, as we go about our day. In your name, amen. What do you want me to do? I don't know what to do. A story. What kind of story? Just go ahead and pass it. Can you just kind of pass it to the next row? Is that all right? Just to be fair, I can do the chicken dance. Okay. I'm just kidding. No, I'm not going to do the chicken dance. I don't know. What kind of story? Yeah. My dad can start preaching.
Dance would be kind of fun, but I don't know if it's appropriate. Yeah, Josh is great. Always this appropriate stuff. Yeah, I don't have the music. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, all these rules. Rules are meant to be broken, right? Is that what Josh always says?
Used to.
Well, praise the Lord. This is actually a different Sunday, because Josh and I have been kidding around. Again, I have done it before. We've kind of tag-team preached. But I told Josh what I was going to be sharing on in a couple of weeks ago, and he says, oh, I want to be part of that. So he's up here ready to be part of it. And we don't know exactly how it's going to work, but when he feels inspired and moved, or I'm starting to, get what? Tag-team, yeah. If I'm starting to... No, I'm not going to tap out. And the enemy's not going to get a move on me. It's just he's ready but Josh will. Over the past several months, I keep having the impressions in my heart that we're to have a different experience with and relationship with the Lord than what we've been really having. And I know that's kind of nebulous, but what I'm trying to say is that for so long, our relationship with God has been God in a position of, heaven and us down here, and we're just trying to interact with him the best we can. And I really feel that we're moving into a time where it's to become more intimate, not in a way where you just get warm fuzzies, but where you know him face to face. That's the description that Moses was given, or the description of, that Moses had with God, that he knew him face to face. And we know that Moses was before the cross of Jesus Christ. And so if Moses in those days could have a face-to-face relationship, how much more us? We know that Enoch walked with God in such a way that Enoch all of a sudden was not, because God took him. And so many of us could say, well, you know, there are a couple anomalies in the Bible. Well, you could say that, and people have said that for years, but why don't we say, if they did, why not us? You know, that's kind of what the Seahawks motto was, you know, why not us, right? And why not us? And I believe it's not just us here all of a sudden saying, well, you know, let's make this up. I believe Holy Spirit is inspiring our hearts. And so with that said, I just want to share a few verses today to give you some thoughts that might make you think a little different, because we use our imagination, we use our thought process all the time, every day. You know, when we're at work, someone will ask us to do a task or something, and immediately in our head we start picturing what we're going to do, how we're going to do it. You know, I repair computers, and somebody over the phone will start describing to me their problem. They'll start saying, well, it's doing this and doing that, and all of a sudden I'm imagining in my head the repair. I'm going to do this. I'm sure Jesse can relate. You know, I'm sure mechanics, they hear a certain noise. Okay, I need to pull off the hubcap. No, of course you're not going to pull off the hubcap. If you're going to change a tire, but I'm saying, you know, you're replace an engine or something like that, you don't want me to work on your car. I can work on your computer, but not your car. I'm pretty good at airing the tires, but even I struggle with that at times. So, but again, we use our minds, our thought process, we think, and we do stuff even without doing it. It's part of our imagination, and that's a gift from God, I believe. Our imagination is a gift from God. How many know that we can use our imagination for good or for bad? We can use it to bless, or we can use it to curse. You can start thinking of someone, and you can start thinking of either being blessed by God or them doing well or succeeding. And then you can think of others that maybe haven't treated you so well. And you can start thinking, you know, bad about them. And, you know, that they're in a bad place because you want them in a bad place because they, you know, did bad by you. And so what I want to share with us is that we need to realize that we have been given a gift of this imagination, and we're not to let it just run wild. And if you would turn with me in your Bibles, I'm going to start here. It's kind of a different place, but let me turn to the right translation. I think I want the web. It's Genesis 6:5, and this is the World English Bible translation. It says, Yahweh saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, it says that their wickedness was great in the earth, and that every imagination of their thoughts of their heart was evil continually, and then that Yahweh, or God, was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. We know that at that point, he finds Noah and tells Noah, you need to build an ark because I'm ending this, because there's nothing but evil being either done or imagined. Now, it's amazing that it wasn't just the evil they were doing, it's what they had going on in their heart. It's what they had going on upstairs, you know, what they were envisioning, what they were picturing. This word is the word yasser or yeser in Hebrew, and it literally is the word that is used for when you're framing, you're modeling a piece of clay, you're sculpting it, you're making it into something, you're figuring it. It means to frame something in your mind, a picture, an intent, and that's what was going on with the world at this time before the flood.
And if you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, Jesus says, "You've heard it, that it was said of those of old, you shall not commit adultery." Now, adultery was an act. It was a physical act that someone did. They would either, seduce somebody, or there would be like, you know, an arrangement, but a husband would either have an illicit affair with another lady, or a wife would have an illicit affair with another man, and it was an act. It took place. But get this, Jesus said, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Now, some would say, well, you know, that's, he was just trying to say, you know, just watch what you're doing with your eyes. I think there's much more going on here than that. I believe what Jesus is saying, that when you frame that in your mind, when you picture that in your mind, when you start letting the lusts and the attraction that is not right follow, and your thoughts follow that, you're actually committing adultery without doing it, folks. In other words, you're guilty of adultery. Why? Because your imagination is just as powerful as doing it. What you think in your mind is just as powerful as doing it. Now, that's hard for us because, Pastor, you don't know what's gone through my mind. Well, thank you for the blood of Jesus, right? But we don't have to stay like this. We don't have to let our minds continually imagine evil things. I believe there's a grace that is on our lives at this time, in this day especially, that we can bring thoughts into captivity like never before. That we do not have to be chained to our imagination to run wild like some stallion in a field. That we can say, no, you're going to be bridled, you're going to be harnessed, and I'm going to set my mind on things above. I'm not going to just let it run wild about things on this earth. Now, sometimes that's difficult because, you know, especially for men, you know, it's about to become summer and you go out and there's women dressed scantily, and sometimes, you know, you're going to have to, like, turn. You know, maybe there's shows on TV you're starting to watch and you can feel your heart being drawn into a certain place where you're going to have to turn it off. Garbage in, garbage out. And so what am I telling you? Is Pastor Mike telling you what to watch on TV? No, I never mentioned one show, but I said if Holy Spirit or if your heart starts to condemn you or convict you, then you need to be obedient. Because we don't need fuel in these days for evil thoughts. I mean, it's all around us, right? You start communicating with somebody at work and they'll start talking about things that you don't need to be listening to. But, you know, you're there. And so, you know, why go to a place where you're paying some advertiser to feed you with garbage? It makes no sense. So, what am I saying? I'm saying that if you let your imagination go to a place where it is either thinking of evil or it's performing evil or it's doing evil, you might as well be doing the act because it's just as powerful. Now, on the flip side of that, if we turn to Isaiah 26:3, I haven't seen Josh's hand come up yet, the tag team yet.
It's like,
oh,
my brain's been going a million
times. It's like, yeah. Yeah, I'll just get it for you. And he just starts talking over me, but that's okay. We're all family, right?
Thank you.
There you go. This is a scripture I've given many times, but again, I want us to realize that this is talking about a way of thinking, a way of framing our imagination that is positive. So it doesn't mean that our imagination has to run wild. I believe that we have the power and grace of God to harness it. If you listen to this in Isaiah 26:3, it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Now, the way that it says it in the Hebrew is basically saying when you frame your mind, when you frame your thoughts on me in trust that I will keep you in perfect or complete shalom, I will keep you in 100% almost safety, you could say, protected. But what is on us? What's on us there? What we do with this. It's our choice. It is our choice where we let our thoughts run. You got something?
Yes, I do.
He's ready to roll.
I've been ready to roll.
Okay.
And what's important to emphasize then is the framework, which imagination is, in fact, framework. And if you can imagine your house or anything, any structure built, everything is going to depend on the frame of the house. If it's, you know, the big bad wolf and the three pigs. You didn't think that was scriptural, did you? Huh?
I didn't either.
Holy Spirit does. I think, do you? Yeah. Yes, I do. Anyways, framework is super important because what it's saying is your imagination, what do you think of when you think of your imagination? You're probably thinking of something right now, right? Well, I think for each one of us it's different. For one, if as a computer consultant, maybe if they call you up, you imagine. Do you see them or you think of that? How does it work for you? When you use your imagination in that sense.
I see myself doing things in a way. I see things that I've done before in the past and that have worked. And I say, when the computer comes here, I'm going to try that right away. Or maybe I don't have an answer, but I'll start trying to formulate one.
Okay. And I don't have necessarily in my imagination, in this particular instance, pictures, but yet thoughts. And imagination is, in fact, the Bible says it's the framework of your thought life. And the emphasis being, that's the start. So it all begins there, okay? So the scripture tells us things like, guard your heart, you know, above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flows. With all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. What's the other one? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In the very scripture that Pastor Mike started with in Genesis 6:5, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
It the correlation between imagination and thoughts and heart, they're all so closely tied together. You look at a lot of these scriptures that you've used here today, a lot of them refer to that one leads to another, leads to another. They're so closely tied and they work together so much that it's important to guard our hearts, to understand that, as Pastor Mike said, that we need to be diligent, purposeful with it,
right.
That thoughts and attacks, if you will, opportunities. I had a situation last night. You probably, you know, where on the TV, you like described exactly what happened to me. I was the only one in the house, and that certain thing came on. And for a quick moment, I entertained it. Holy Spirit said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!" And I flipped that thing off because I understood that could lead to a series of thoughts, which then would lead eventually to his actions. And I think that's the big key here, is to understand that your thoughts eventually will lead you down a path of actions.
Exactly. So, on the good side, what if we have thoughts of spending time with Jesus or spending time with the Father, walking down a path with him? Now, some may say, well, that's... how can you walk with the Father? He's God, and remember, he's personal to you. And he's not concerned with you bringing him into your imaginations and experiencing intimacy with him. He's not. So many of us think, well, that's bad, because now you're visualizing God. No, you're visualizing God. You could be visualizing something that is really bad, but you're choosing to set your mind on things above. And if it has to do with maybe an experience that you had, I believe that you said that today for a reason, so that people could realize that if you've had a great experience with the Father, maybe you haven't had a great experience, or maybe you've seen one on TV. Some of you are going like, well, now I'm going to take a thing. Yes, you're going to take something that touched your heart because it touched your heart, said it had power. See, not everything of God is in the Bible. Sometimes the love of God is just shared among a family. Sometimes unbelievers, because it comes from God. Love just does not come from man. Love is a gift from God. How many before you knew God still experienced true love? And you can remember the love of your parents or the love of somebody that was in your life. That maybe they didn't know God totally, but the love of God was shared in them. And what I'm trying to tell you is that we have got to take every opportunity and every gift that God's given us of this creation to know him. And whether that's our imagination, whether that's reading in the Bible, maybe an experience that Jesus had with his disciples, and now you say, you know what? I'm going to just imagine I'm right there sitting watching you talk to Nicodemus at night. And let the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, remind you what took place there. You may get the exact scene that took place. Somebody say, well, how can that happen? Well, it's told by Jesus himself that Holy Spirit will remind you of all the things that I've done. So do you think that was limited to the disciples? It's not. But we have got to get our relationship out of this, you know, for lack of a better term, hands-off relationship. Where it's about a Bible and it's about, you know, just fellowship with something. No, we're to have a deep, intimate communion with the Father. Remember where Jesus prayed? I pray that they're one just as you and I are one. Can you guys see any separation between the Father and Jesus Christ? None. Well, I believe that's the way it's supposed to be for us. Well, some may say, well, I'm here on earth. You know, he's up there. Well, you've got an orphan mentality. Because you're a son seated right next to him. Or a daughter seated right next to him in a place of authority. And for you to think that he's way up there and you have to try to get to him, those thoughts have got to go. You want to share it? Tag team.
Yesterday, we went down to Sunnyside with David and Tanya to see David's mom and just enjoy fellowship, but also to pray over her. And the Lord specifically spoke about how he wanted to just have her experience his peace like she had never experienced before. And so the Lord just said to me, just, you know, to have her lay her head back against the couch, and that this mist was just going to come down and just gently fall on her. And I'm not kidding you guys, the peace of God just fell all over her. Like, for a long time, nobody said a word. You could just feel the presence of God in the room. And when she finally picked her head up, she said, this is what she said, I have never felt God like that before. But that's what he wants for us, is not for it to be this, that follow the rule, take this step, take this turn, don't do this, but make sure to do that. That's not what he's wanting for us. He wants true relationship with us so that we walk in that peace. We walk in that love that he's just waiting to pour out on every single one of us. And it's for every single one of us. It's not for anybody, one person. He's not a respecter of persons. He's not going to give more to Rob and not give some, you know, give that to me. He loves me just as much as he loves Robin. Sometimes I think more. No, I'm kidding. Okay, I digress.
So, the scripture that was used earlier about Jesus, he said, before it was this and now it's this. You know, you say, but I say, before, if you murdered somebody, you're a murderer. But now, if you hate your brother in your heart, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer at heart. And what he's done is he's opened up through his sacrifice that called us all into him. It calls us into intimacy. And he understands that It's the very heart, the very thoughts, the very imaginations that lead to the very way we live our life. And it's that which can draw us close to God or separate us from God. And every little thought that you have needs to be held captive. Anybody ever heard this before? To the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5.
Or every imagination you have.
Or every imagination, every framework, every beginning fragment of every thought that you have has to be, like it says in Psalm 139, search me and know me, O God. Know my heart. It's a constant awareness of him. It's a constant, not just you know he's alive and like that idea. That idea has been, unfortunately, for years, even in my walk with him, has been like that he's somewhere, you know, he's there. He loves me. I know that. I get that. But where really is he? Like, you know, he's like I felt, you know, that orphan mentality that he's, in the past I've felt this way, that he's here, but he's just not here, you know? He's alive, and I believe everything is true about him, but he's just not, you know, I mean, he's far off. And today I sat here and I worship and I cried, and I love that, and none of you guys were here. In my imagination, I was sitting right there with my father. I actually pictured in my imagination Jesus walking through the room as that song was played. You guys ever do that? Songs on the radio and you picture something, or you know, you hear something, you begin to picture it in your imagination. I imagine him walking in here, and to me, it was real. To me, it was real. And I sat here and I cried. And if I was honest with you, I repented that I don't have times like that enough with him. That I doesn't have to be in four walls of a church.
Come on.
That my imagination can exalt him all the time. Yes. I did. I sat here and I cried because I felt his love, and he did not condemn me. He did not say, because you only did it today and haven't worshiped me in this way for a week or 2 weeks or whatever, that you're bad. And he did not say that to me. Matter of fact, he didn't say anything, but his presence said, I love you. He said, I love you. He did not pick apart my wrong. And so our imagination can exalt him at any and every time.
Come on.
Not just at certain times. We do have to get out of the box. You said somewhere, I have a tendency of finishing other people's sentences, sometimes out loud, sometimes in my head. But you had said we got to get out of that, I believe, orphan mentality, I think. And my end of that sentence was out of the box, which I think are the same thing. We can't restrict our thoughts of him, our interactions of him, our romance with him to a building or to this time of the day or to those restrictions have to be off.
Come on. Got another verse for you, and we'll probably leave with this thought. In Matthew 6:22, just another chapter over from where we were talking about the adultery in your heart, says the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Now you could say, well, that means what my natural eye sees, whether it's bad or good, then that's what's going to be either letting darkness in or letting goodness in. Well, you could say that, but I don't believe that's what Jesus is saying here at all. I believe what Jesus is saying here, if your imagination is on the right thing, if your intent is singular, that word actually means where it says where your eye is good, that word actually can mean clear or singular. In other words, if your eye is not double standard, if your eye is not double, if your mind's not double minded, then you're going to be full of light. And so what is this saying? This is saying that, listen, if we don't guard what we're looking at, not just physically with our natural eyes, but if we don't guard what we're looking at with our spirit, with our soul, with what we're allowing to be what leads us and guides us, then we are going to be full of darkness. And God doesn't want us full of darkness. He wants us full of his light because he is light and he lives in us. But if we don't focus on his tabernacling, his living, abiding inside of us, and we focus on other things of this world, whether it's good sometimes or whether it's the bad stuff, we can lose the ability to have that full light in us. And I believe that's a relationship that he's talking about here. I don't believe he's just talking about that we're evil, like Josh was saying, you know, well, why weren't you here last week, you know, thinking this way? No, he wants us to realize that he loves us. And the only way we can receive that is when we're receiving his full light, the truth of who he is, the truth of what he thinks about us. Amen. So let's not be, because it says, as in the days of Noah, so will the returning of Jesus be. Let's not be in that camp that our imaginations are running wild. Let's be in the camp of the people of God who I believe have a grace on their life this day to let our minds and our hearts, not through some religious act, not through some, you know, duty, say, oh, I'm not going to look at that TV show anymore because, you know, Pastor Mike told me not to look at it. I didn't mention any shows. But let Holy Spirit guide you. Let Holy Spirit be the one who says, my son, my daughter, this is not good for you. Because there is so much more than this. Not that you know, he's going to condemn you for that, but I can't give you what I want to give you if you're focusing on this. You can't receive my full light, my full truth, my full love if you're allowing yourself to be caught up in this. And that's what it is. We're being snared and tricked and schemed out of our inheritance is what's happening. Because we're not setting our mind on things above. We have to choose to do it. We can't, it's not going to happen all, you know, all of a sudden God's going to go, bink, now your mind can think, no, you're going to have to determine to not be yoked with the enemy's world. You can't love this world and the things of this world and love God. It's impossible. He can't serve two masters, which I think is the next verse down here. So stand with me. Stand with us. I know we've had some altar time already, but I really believe this is an opportunity for maybe some things to be released in our hearts. In a real way, that if you've been, you know, saying, you know what, I can relate, Pastor Mike. I can see how my thoughts have just all of a sudden just gone a certain way, and it seems like there's no way back out of that until I end up either doing something, or you know, getting to the place where I either, you know, act out, or I just feel totally condemned and I can't even face the Lord anymore. Then I want you to just take an opportunity, and it's, you know, this is fess up time. You know, I'm telling you, I struggle with my thought life. It's I want to be able to fully set my mind on him all the time. Now some may say, well, that's ridiculous. How can you set your mind on God all the time? Well, Jesus did, and he is my example. So if the Lord Jesus Christ, who is my Savior, who basically said, everything that I have, you now have, did it, then why can't I? Why not us? Why not us in this generation be a generation that no longer thinks about the things of the world, where they attract us at all anymore? Now, some may say, well, that's just too big. I can't go that far. Well, maybe you can't go that far. But maybe you can say, you know what? I want to learn through the guidance of the Holy Spirit how to bring my thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Maybe that's where you just want to start. You're not ready to say, I never want to think about that stuff again, but you say, I do want help from the Holy Spirit. I want my God to take my hand and lead me in this life, whispering in my ear, son, don't go there. Daughter, don't go there. Don't look at that. No, I've got so much more for you. You know, if that's you, I just encourage you to come up and just say, you know, Lord, have your way in me. Work in my heart. work in my mind, renew me. Pastor Josh said, I'm a new creation. Let that come to pass in my life. Don't let it just be something that's declared, but let it be something that's truly manifested. In other words, let it be a reality that I am a new creation, that I don't do things and say things like I used to. So come on up, man. I believe there's going to be freedom. There's going to be liberty. Amen, brother. There's going to be a new day that you get to experience. A greater awareness of the presence of God in your life. A greater reality of who He is. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that we can come to you in full confidence that you won't turn us away. That no matter what kind of mistakes we've made in the past, no matter what things we've either thought in our imaginations or acted out upon, Lord, that you are a loving, gracious God. And you're bringing us to a place of authority and sonship. And you're giving us the ability to hear your voice, to be led by the Spirit of God, and let our imaginations be used for the good, not the bad. I just release your grace upon our life right now, Lord. We do. We want to be that people that sets our mind on things above, not on things of this world. Set our mind on you, Lord Jesus, your work of the cross, your finished work of the cross that is alive in us. Thank you, Lord, right now that you're setting people free, God, from patterns and habits that they have not been able to break out of because of things of the past. You're setting them free right now, Lord. You're going to give them the ability to see clearly again, to use their imagination as you have designed it to be used for your glory, for good things. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just put your hand on your heart. We're just going to say a prayer together. I'm saying it with you at the exact same time. I just happen to be saying it first. Father, I thank you that I am your son. You can say daughter for the ladies. I thank you that I am yours, that I am not my own. And I give you permission by the Holy Spirit to remind me, to tell me, to challenge me of things that I could get involved with that could hurt you and hurt me. Lead me, Lord, in paths of righteousness. Lead me, Lord, where you want me to go. Holy Spirit, I give you permission. Speak to my heart at any time. Give me the strength to be obedient when you speak. Lord, right now I release a supernatural imagination over your people, that they will start to see, Lord, from things above. They'll start to see, Lord, your kingdom reality right now in this place. God, that they'll experience heaven here on earth. Lord, that there will be, Lord, a way, Lord, where there seemed to be no way made for them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We receive right now, Lord, your grace. Your grace is sufficient for us. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. just need to surrender. We need to yield. When you hear that still small voice speaking, say, I obey. I don't understand it right now, because maybe it's something that will come to you and you'll go, well, why does this matter? Well, God knows why it matters. God knows why maybe what others can get away with, you can't get away with it. It's a snare and it's a trap for you. Others may have a freedom in it. It doesn't bother them. But if Holy Spirit's pointing his finger right in your heart, you've got to be obedient and say, I give it up. I give it up because I want all of you. I want face-to-face intimacy, Lord. Guard your heart with all diligence. That means keep it. That means put a garrison around it if you have to. Don't let things in that will corrupt you. Not because God will reject you, but because you will lose out on what he has for you. We can't afford that, folks. We can't afford that, family. There's too much at stake in these days for us to be complacent and just go on our own way. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Everybody say amen.
Amen. You got a song there, brother? Nope.
Whatever you want to do, Pastor.
That's good. Well, God bless you. I love you. Walk in a greater level of victory.